If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
This is the New Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN Radio. John Williams here. Producer Pete is too, and so too is Tom Fortino. You hear Tom Sunday mornings on WGN Radio. Tom is also the president and founder of the Alpha Wealth Group, and he hosts our Alpha Wealth Hour. That's Sundays at 7 a.m. Tom, I actually caught a lot of your show this Sunday, and I know you're very much about taxes and about how to avoid paying taxes, but I thought what you were saying, too, about just income streams was really smart and just a good reminder. It's not the pile of money. It's the income that you want to generate off of it. So you talked about Social Security, pensions, et cetera. But I wonder if you just wanted to sort of reinforce that message to start today. When people retire, they want income. They shouldn't worry about the pile of money per se. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think what's important, John, is when we talk about income and assets, we kind of need to differentiate between the two. And you made the comment having a pile of money. You know, it's always laudable. You put money in the 401k, you save it. It grows to a certain amount. But the bottom line is there's no guaranteed amount you can pull off that. And I know we've kind of fallen in, I don't want to say it's a trap, but it's getting to a number, right? Let's get to this number. Well, you know, when you talk about Social Security, which you just mentioned, that's an income stream, regardless of what I have in savings. And there's that old adage, I guess, the difference between savings and investments is, you know, savings and income is savings can run out. Income doesn't. So it's critical when we get to that point where now where that spigot turns off and those paychecks aren't hitting our bank accounts anymore, how do we replicate that in retirement as much as possible? Because that is really a pretty emotional move there. And so I've differentiated and I define income versus savings, or income versus investments and savings. It has to meet three criteria. One is the income comes in regardless of whether the market's up, down, or sideways. The income comes in regardless of age, so now that longevity risk has been reduced or gone away, and it comes in regardless of what I have in savings and investments. So if it meets that criteria, Social Security does, pensions do. We can even look at using annuities as a guaranteed lifetime income source.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because you did talk a lot about annuities. I wish more of us had generous pensions that my father's generation have. I don't have a rich pension. I that's kind of old school, right?
Yeah, pensions are certainly, most of these companies have gone from what is called the defined benefit, where you're getting this defined benefit, so much a month, so much a year, to a defined contribution, the 401ks. The contribution is defined, and I guess this makes my point. You can put in $32,000 a year, or $30,000, whatever the number is. But what do you get on the back end? I don't know. That depends. So they moved quite a bit. So you can, again, if you have a pension, God bless you, that's great. If you want to get, again, additional income and, in a way, create your own pension, that's where annuities come in. And you'd want to understand the pros and cons. But using an annuity as an investment vehicle can give you a lifetime income. For those that are married, it can give you a joint lifetime income, so it's not reduced. That prevents a little. So that market risk, that longevity risk, well, those are not part of it anymore because there's no market risk and there's no longevity risk in those in getting a lifetime income stream.
And you said when you pass away, there are products now that would actually save some of the reserve and pass it along to heirs.
Yeah, similar to this is kind of the old school. We have this, you know, this sense of the annuities used to be I give a certain amount of money to a company and they in turn give me this income stream for life, and that's, you know, that's it, there's nothing left. Well, they've evolved a lot, so I do want to give them some credit. And so what I mean by that is the investment, the account value is there, okay? And so if there's still money left, you know, it will go to your beneficiaries. So it doesn't go away. So I just want to be clear. When the way we set them up and most of the way these work is the account value is still there. Yes, it can go down over time as you live. But if you pass away, whatever's left will go to your children and grandchildren.
And one last thing about this, though. Well, then what's the trade-off? Like, that sounds like a good idea, but what am I not getting as a result of putting money into an annuity?
Well, here's, again, this is why you want to understand the pros and cons, and that's a great question, John, because, okay, what's the downside? You're going to give me, guarantee me money for the rest of my life, and to the extent I don't use it, it goes to my family? Okay, well, there's a couple things. Number one is, you know, you lose some flexibility, right? I've said many times, you can't buy Microsoft or Apple or NVIDIA inside an annuity. That's not going to happen. So your investment options are lower and probably the upside on the account, number one. Number two, the liquidity. You have to be aware that it's not 100% liquid. There's typically surrender charges that last multiple years. They go away over time, but they're there. So that's where you have to understand the pros and cons to it. It's designed for a guaranteed income stream. It's not designed as the growth piece of your portfolio.
So the performance isn't going to be as robust in a bull market then?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's not, again, it's not the growth piece. This is the income piece of your plan. So that's the way you want to approach it and look at it.
What's your take on the markets this week, Tom?
Well, I'm sighing because that's my take. No, it's been tough. You know, you're seeing it having a good day today. I mean, even going into last week, I think it's because the optimism on these earnings, right? You know, last week, Goldman came out, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, the banks did terrific. You know, Taiwan Semiconductor, ASML, and then this morning, IBM and GM came out. So I think 80, I saw read recently, 87 this morning, 87% of those reporting have beat estimates. So I think that's a positive, and so that's what we're going to see the rest of this week when some of the big dogs, as they say, come out with earnings. But it's been pretty good.
Sir, and what's driving that? Is that technology again?
You know, it's not just technology. Well, I mean, a lot of it's driven is you know the derivatives of what drives this. Obviously, the data centers, the AI play, kind of plays into a lot of this. But you're seeing this rotation in some of these other companies. You know, I just looked at the equal weight S&P. That's actually outperforming the S&P year to date, and even more so over the last few months. So you're seeing earnings across the board that have been pretty solid. So that's a good thing. And we're seeing more participation, again, across the board, a broader participation in this market, not just the huge big cap, mega cap companies.
Yeah, right. Tom Fortino hosts the Alpha Wealth Hour on WGN Radio Sunday mornings at 7. The administration appears to be poised to put more tariffs again on Canada this time. This is a result of the Supreme Court kicking out their previous batch. They think they have a new way. Sounds like the beta version of this is going to be on Canada. Do you think that's going to impact markets, or what do you think the impact's going to be, Tom?
You know, with the tariffs, I don't think so. I'm not really too concerned about how much those are going to impact the markets. I think a couple things. They may get this resolved. It sounds like they're working on getting this resolved, and it's not going to take effect for some time, and it may never take effect. I think the bigger overhang, and the obvious, I guess stating the obvious here, is what's happening in Iran, the price of oil, and then even the 10-year, you know, just eclipsing 4.6. So those are much bigger concerns, I would say.
4.6, that looks high to you. You'd rather be closer to 4.0.
Yeah, or maybe even a little under 4.0, but certainly under 4.0, because, you know, that 10-year drives so many things, whether it's mortgage rates and, of course, other rates as it relates to small businesses, and then it's just, it has a pretty big impact, a huge impact on the economy. So, you know, it's been staying in this range, and once that breaks out of a certain range, that becomes problematic, and then the market is going to react to that too. It also puts pressure on, if I'm going to get 5% on a 10-year, you know, maybe I'm going to shift more money to that, and now it's competing with some of the dividend stocks as well. So that's a definitely an important factor in this whole analysis, or where the market stands.
That'd be bad for markets. It might be okay for some savers, though, huh?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you know, right now the 30-year is over 5%. So if you want to lock into a rate, you know, again, pros and cons to that. But yeah, you're going to definitely get a higher interest rate.
Well, just tell me what the market's going to finish at this year, and then I'll make up my mind.
I wish I could do that. It's going to be different than it is today.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
You watch; it'll be exactly what it is today. But our, pretty much everybody that's visited with us on the Noon Business Lunch has had a relatively bullish outlook for the year. And even look at the renewed fighting now in Iran. The market hasn't cratered. Now, gas is up over $4 a gallon, but it was just under $4. It's not zoomed to $5. Anyway, are you still optimistic about 2026?
Yeah, I am optimistic. Again, there's these things we can't control, the black swan events, and who knows what's going to happen. Assuming those things don't happen and we're able to get this under control, I think it is going to be positive for the market. I do think we will be higher at the end of this year. I think there's this there's some momentum here. As we said, we're seeing these good earnings. I think the guidance is good. I just think there's some good things happening, and I think this market will continue to power higher. You can look at some of the statistics. I think there was one I saw recently going back to 1955 when the second quarter is up over 10%, and it was, at least in the market. You know, the market for the rest of the year has been up double digits. So for what that's worth, and putting all those things together, I think we're in a good spot for this market to go higher.
Is there a lot of investor cash on the sidelines right now?
There's a decent amount, but, you know, what you're seeing, what's interesting is we're starting to see some pressure because, the two of the three biggest ever IPOs came out. We look at SpaceX, or I should say, yeah, and SK Hynix, you know, you're talking about cash has to go somewhere. And so, you know, now we're talking about Anthropic. I think, that's going to come out this year. I don't know if there's another IPO we're looking at. But OpenAI, I think, is putting it till next year. But, you know, those put pressure on the market, too, because those are, you know, the liquidity. So it'll be interesting to see when that happens.
I'm Googling SpaceX to see what it's trading at. 127.9.
Uh-huh.
1.68 trillion in market capitalization. That's so far turned out to be a pretty good investment.
Well, I mean, it's below its IPO price. So most people who bought it are a little underwater, but, you know, that's with the understanding, I hope, most people who bought it, it was a long-term hold. So, I still think there's some incredible upside if you hold it. They're talking about, you know, potentially a trend $10 trillion market cap
down
the road.
Yes. It's funny because I know what I just said, and yet even as I was saying it, I thought 127 seems low. That's actually below what it was originally offered at.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, and it rode high. Now it's come down. That's not is that an unusual roller coaster for something like that?
No, actually, that's common to kind of just wait because the euphoria is right there. You see these IPOs take off. Usually, the majority of times there's a buying opportunity down the road. You can wait a little while till things settle. A lot of that emotional is in at that point. So yeah, usually this is not uncommon. This is maybe we could say it's a buying opportunity.
Yeah, well, how about that? I know that you aren't able to give us specific stock picks on the radio, but is there a sector that you are looking at right now that you like?
Well, I mean, we've seen a couple sectors do well, which are financials and healthcare. The easy answer is always just buy the index and don't worry about the sectors. That's the way we do this, especially when we see the rotation and we just saw what happened with semis and technology. Some of those got clobbered, but if you recall, John, the last time we were having a conversation, Micron was at $1,200 a share. Today it's at 900 and something. It was down to 800. Maybe there's some opportunities in that space. You've seen some of these where now you can get in because the projection was, not that this will hold, but it may be $1,600 a share within the next few years based on earnings, you know, and the multiples. So I think there might be some opportunities there for people to take a look in that industry. These things have got down 20, 30% in some cases or more.
Hmm. Tom Fortino, founder, principal, Alpha Wealth Group. Listen for him Sunday mornings at 7 on WGN Radio or just click on AlphaWealthGroup.com, AlphaWealthGroup.com. Tom, appreciate your time today. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thanks, John. You take care. Good talking to you.